Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper. We got a spectacular show to you for you tonight. Physicians challenges in treating ADHD, and with us in our virtual studio is the Dr. Joel Young.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you for inviting me. I'm delighted.
Absolutely. We're thrilled you're here. This has been exciting to me. We did a show with you a couple years ago on chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and ADHD, which was really a great interview and very insightful. It's kind of interesting. So I still get emails every once in a while commenting on that show and the job that you did. Spectacular.
Well, again, thank you. It's also an interesting topic. But tonight you have a really interesting agenda.
Absolutely. Before we get into it real quick, Dr. Young, let me just real quickly, everybody, tonight is Wednesday, May the 17th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A few quick announcements. The CHAD conference, that's Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, their conference, 2017 conference, is coming up in Atlanta, Georgia, in November 9th through the 11th. You can learn more about that by going to chad.org. If you are a first-time listener to this show, this is new to you, but if you're a long-term listener, you know it's a big deal. You can get lots of great content. Well, as a matter of fact, we have great content tonight, and you can get similar type content at the CHAD conference, but I'm telling you that there's nothing like the education that you get in the hallways and talking to the speakers after they're done. It's a great opportunity to go mingle among your tribe. Again, we're proud of what we do. We're proud of the content that we have, but it pales in comparison to the experience of being on location amongst your tribe. So if you haven't considered it, I encourage you to do it and then go to chadd.org. Also, we are exceptionally honored to have CHAD as a supporter. And tonight's show is actually being brought to you by CHAD. And they've got a little tip that we're going to run real quick, and then we'll get into the meat of the show. So let's listen to their tip.
Are you considering a medication holiday for your child? Possible benefits include time for a growth spurt unaffected by medication, and relief from side effects. Be sure to weigh the benefits and the drawbacks because ADHD symptoms will return. And always discuss any changes with your child's health care provider first. For more information, visit the CHAD website, helpforadhd.org, H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Thank you again, Chad, for your continued support. And just a real quick plug for them. If you are part of the ADHD community, you need to join and be a member of CHAD. They've got a lot of great member benefits. There's magazine, Ask the Expert, there's blogs, there's all kinds of stuff. But that's not really the reason you should join. The reason you should join is to contribute to the cause because they're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. They have the volunteers that are going up on Capitol Hill that are lobbying for all kinds of different stuff that we've done before, dealing with regulatory commissions about definitions of disability and stuff with ADHD. It's invaluable. You don't see it, you don't hear about it, but they are the one organization that helps speak with one voice. So for no other reason, that's a great way to join, a reason to join. So we got great content for you tonight. The purpose of our show is over the years I began to learn the intricacies and difficulties of working with the ADHD crowd from a business perspective, and we've got the Dr. Joel Young with us tonight to kind of talk about the business side, if you will, and I'm really hopeful that we're going to illuminate some things that you might not necessarily be aware of and give you some insights to help you maybe understand why sometimes it's difficult to find somebody with who can diagnose and treat ADHD, actually, are in the business. So real quickly, Dr. Young is the medical director at the Rochester Center of Behavioral Medicine outside of Detroit and a clinical associate professor at psychiatry at Wayne State University. Dr. Young and his clinic have been primary investigators in a number of clinical trials involving antidepressants, ADHD, and bipolar medications. He's the author of many articles and textbook chapters. His book, ADHD Grown Up, a guide for adolescents and adults with ADHD, was published in 2007. And his second book, Contemporary Guide for Adult ADHD, was published in 2009. He's presented hundreds of lectures throughout the country on his area of expertise, including ADHD. Dr. You can learn more about him by going to his website at rcbm.net. And just real quickly, he's got one of the largest practices, I think, in the country. He's got multiple people on staff, so he really knows the business side of that. And with all that, Dr. Young, welcome again to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be back. It's been a few years since we've talked, and I appreciate the invitation.
Absolutely. So let's get down to the meat of that. To be honest, to be a physician that diagnoses and treats those with ADHD, it's not a simple task. There's a lot of complexity and scrutiny that goes into this. Can you just kind of give us an overview? I mean, it's not as simple as the eye can see, as maybe if you're a physician in another area where you can, there's a test you can take to get a diagnosis, and medications are not necessarily scrutinized like they are. Just tell us about it a little bit.
Well, so I think it's complicated on a number of fronts. Obviously, the central challenge is to be a good clinician, is to be able to understand ADHD and its multiple comorbidities. I know you've had shows on these topics before. And, you know, ADHD runs with all sorts of clinical conditions, from depression to anxiety disorders to chronic fatigue, as we spoke before, to personality disorders and substance use disorders. So no two patients are the same. And although I'm really interested in this phenomenon, I've been doing it for years, I'm always amazed at the, you know, panoply of patients that present to us. And that you have to be on your game. And so clinically, it takes a lot. Sometimes patients are medically ill, or they have heart disease or some other medical condition. So you have to be a good clinician. You have to be on your game as a psychiatrist and as a physician. So that's the central challenge. I think the second issue that you raise is that running an ADHD practice, or one that's focused on that, is sometimes perilous. It's people tend not to understand it. And the central paradox is that we use stimulant medications or controlled substances for a great number of patients. And stimulant medications, amphetamine-based medications or methylphenidate-based medications, are highly controversial. And so consequently, those of us that use these medications, you know, have to think about it, and they have to be, vigilant about making a proper diagnosis and using the medications appropriately.
So let's jump to that. And I want to go back to the diagnosis, because at the end of the day, it's stimulants or controlled substances, and it is for a variety of reasons. And one of the things that's very clear is it's actually abused. It's used by athletes as a performance-enhancing drug. Students use it to help them study. And there's lots of stories in the news of this abuse, and there's lots of stories that I've heard of people going into the system and conning the system to get the diagnosis in order to get the stimulants, in order to divert it into the black market. And that's something you have to be mindful of, I think, as a clinician, that other doctors in other areas don't necessarily have to be mindful of. And that can be kind of tricky, because you don't want to fall prey to that. And it seems to me that that's got to be on your mind sometimes.
No, I think that you really outlined that very nicely. And that is, these meds, stimulant medications, psychostimulant medications, can be used appropriately and to great advantage. And I think many people who have ADHD or have loved ones with ADHD will testify that these meds have been really important, and in some cases life changing, and sometimes less dramatically, just very helpful. Then there is unfortunately a segment of the population that misuses or diverts these medications. And certainly physicians are the source of that diversion. And if they prescribe these meds, if physicians prescribe these meds inappropriately and not thoughtfully and without making a precise diagnosis, then they will occasionally find themselves approached by people with bad intentions, people who want to gain access to these meds so they can either misuse them themselves or divert them to others and for profit. So, you know, this is a problem. I think the other specialty in medicine that has this unique difficulty are physicians that treat pain and chronic pain. And we've seen among our colleagues who have treated pain that we've really changed our approach. 10 years ago, there was a real impetus to treat chronic pain with opiate medications. Personally, as a psychiatrist, I never thought that was a good idea, but that became widely accepted. Now we're recognizing that using opiate medications to treat pain is absolutely undesirable. We know it's associated with complications, maybe even early death. And we've really shifted away from that. Those of us and doctors that are prescribing opiates in high amounts are being scrutinized, and some of them should be. Some of them are just not good clinicians, and they're actually complicit in this scheme. And then there are legitimate pain doctors, the vast majority of doctors that are interested in taking care of people who have pain or have terminal pain or and have legitimately tried to keep up with their patients and use meds. But what we've seen is that appropriately law enforcement agencies are cracking down on the bad doctors. And I think the ADHD community has watched this carefully. They don't, you know, most of the people, you know, that I think treat ADHD, most of the clinicians, most doctors are extraordinarily focused on the well-being of their patients, and they want their patients to do well. But there's probably people in the mix who just like some of the unscrupulous pain doctors, are not prescribing appropriately.
So I want to just pause and go to a break because I want to come back and spend a little bit of time on that. But just to kind of wrap up the segment is we are talking about stimulants, which is a controlled substance. And at the end of the day, it's an abused medication for different areas. And it's a criminal activity, really, to kind of go in and fake it just to divert those drugs, which is an issue I think that you very well articulated between physicians that are working with pain yourselves. It's a level of complexity that's not necessarily there for the other regular practices or other types of specialties. And I think that's really important to know because you got to be on your guard. When we come back, I want to kind of talk about that extra level of scrutiny for, in a little bit more detail. So with everybody, we're going to go to break real quick. I really want you to consider checking out Dr. Young's website. It's rcbm.net. And Dr. Young, if they go there, I presume that they can get links to get access to your books and purchase those, or is there a better place for them to look?
Yeah, that's probably the best place. Certainly your local library is a fine place, or Amazon. My books are there as well.
Absolutely. So everybody, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Jill Young, and before the break, we were really diving into some of the challenges of being a physician. And you know, it's kind of funny. I was honored last fall by Chad because they asked me to introduce the keynote speaker at the Chad conference, which happened to be Lee Steinberg, which is the inspiration to the movie Jerry Maguire. And as we were on break, Dr. Young, all I could think of was follow the money. And because these controlled substances are abused, that whenever there's abuse and there's money involved, it's a challenge. And I loved how you articulated before the break is that, you know, there's some really good doctors out there, but there's some not so good doctors, and so they need to be scrutinized. And it's interesting to me because if that's going to happen, there's a net that's cast over this space, and a very intentional, professional physician such as yourself still has to undergo that scrutiny from time to time as the system evaluates or judges what's going on. And I got to believe that that's not a fun experience and an administrative task that you have to endure that many other specialties don't have to. Can you speak to that for a second?
Well, you know, I personally have never had, like, any difficulty. So I can't speak to it personally. I think that we all read about this occasionally of corrupt practitioners or people who are essentially just writing medications and they're being monitored and rated. And I think we're all happy when we see people who are, you know, unscrupulous, whether they're clergy or physicians or any people of trust who are abusing their trust. And I think that that's really what law enforcement is. We support that. Those of us who – go ahead.
No, finish, please.
Yeah, those who practice good medicine and, you know, are careful and wise to the possibility there are people who want to gain access to these meds, you know, don't fall for it. You can't be a fool and be a doctor. I guess you can. But it's unwise to be. And you know, I think psychiatrists often are pretty well trained. We have dealt with difficult, sometimes substance abusing patients, sometimes people with personality disorders. So you quickly become wise. And you know, naivete does not play well in medicine and particularly psychiatry. But I have to say that just like you, Jeff, you know, I'm connected to the ADHD community throughout the country. None of my colleagues have encountered, you know, difficulty as long as they do it the right way, which is when a patient with ADHD presents, take a good history. Make sure that these symptoms are historical. They're not just new onset. Corroborate this by getting early reports, like report cards or other evidence that these symptoms are longstanding. Get collateral information. Make sure that the patient isn't there and nobody in his world will give a corroborating story. And I'll tell you one thing that I don't do is when patients present to me, even if I know they're very legitimate and their story adds up, and but I rarely will prescribe medications with knowing somebody one time, because I don't think that that's wise. You know, it's rarely an emergency to intervene, and I often will do an intake, get some testing. Ensure that I have collateral information, and then only after this process will we prescribe stimulant medications. And then we monitor them carefully. We see them monthly for the first several months, and then if things are stable, we see them every 3 months. And most importantly, I think, or as importantly, we rarely will prescribe short-acting stimulant medications. If you look at the abuse potential
yep.
of stimulant medications, they're much greater with short-acting medications, and the abuse and diversion falls off with long-acting agents. I think if you use those principles,
I wanted to have you on because you deal in this stuff kind of every day, but as I'm listening to you, one of my impetus is I know I was having a conversation with my own personal physician who won't prescribe stimulants, and it's interesting to me because I'm standing in his shoes, and there's a lot of people who won't necessarily work and treat with ADHD because, as you described, there's a lot that goes into it and a lot of scrutiny and a lot of thought that has to go to it. I think it's actually intimidating for some to actually kind of get into it. It's easier for them just to say, listen, I'm not going to get into that space. They might be capable of, but it just relieves them of a lot of stuff. And I like how you articulated kind of what you did. You're very cautious and you're very thorough as to what's going on, but it takes a level of discipline, thought, and scrutiny. This is not a drive-by type thing just to be a good professional, whereas other things might be a little bit easier. That said, I do want to kind of move into we've had a lot of interviews in the past about the prescribing of medications and of stimulant medications, about getting the right dose in the right amount at the right time, and the understanding of stimulant medications when it relates to other conditions like maybe bipolar or OCD. And we've had a couple different people on this. It really depends on what's kind of going on, because sometimes you can prescribe those stimulants and it actually can be more challenging to other comorbid kind of conditions. So that seems to me like a little bit of an area of challenge that requires a lot of thought. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. So I will come to comorbidities, but I just want to speak to the first point, which is your comment with your personal physician. And I think and I assume that the people listening to this broadcast are either going to be clinicians or probably as likely consumers of ADHD care. And I think what we're seeing in this country as a general trend is probably a move towards specialization, that general physicians, because it's a complicated part of medicine and a misunderstood part of medicine, primary care physicians or non-specialists are probably backing off a little bit, and they're referring to specialists. And in every city in the country, there are people who are interested, who are trained, and who feel comfortable because it becomes, in a way, your specialty. So, people. So I think that's what we're seeing. And I think that speaks to your personal physician, that he probably would rather a specialist, or in this case, maybe a subspecialist, manage ADHD. And I think that's the general trend that we're seeing in this day and age. Your second question, though, is more of a clinical question, right? Like, when's the appropriate time to use stimulant medications, and do they complicate other medical conditions or psychiatric conditions? A great example, Jeff, is there is, because these stimulant medications that we use so confidently in ADHD patients, and appropriately, they work on the dopamine systems. They're so-called dopaminergic medications. And sometimes when you stimulate the dopamine systems and the limbic system and the prefrontal cortex of the brain, it can be associated with propelling people into a hypomanic or manic situation characteristic of bipolar disorder. Yes, that's a concern. It is a concern. It, just like, hemorrhage is a concern if you do a routine appendectomy or a paralysis of the larynx is a possibility if you do a thyroid surgery. Yes, this is what doctors – that's why it takes a long time to be a doctor. You, just like everything else, usually it goes right. 95% of the time it goes right. It's that 5% of the time that you want someone who's been trained in a hospital, in a psychiatric hospital, understands medicine, and is there when something goes wrong. 95% of births can be done probably in the home. It's at 5% of the time that you need a surgeon to intervene heroically. So that's what it is. It's just like every other aspect of medicine. We could talk all day about the various complications and comorbidities. And maybe this is the argument for more of specialty care, is the more you see, the more you know. and the less likely you are to get fooled.
Well, you know, it's fascinating, Doc. You know, one of the things that I'm probably most proud of is being a coach, because it's often people will come to me and say, you want me to see all my my evaluations and all that kind of stuff. And I always resist some of that stuff because I think it kind of closes my mind. I really want to coach them as an individual and kind of follow them and not be kind of put them into a bucket. And again, one of the things that I think I'm most proud of is I've worked with some people before, and one memorable story was a woman who struggled with memory. And I remember one day her being upset because she saw a picture of her kids in the room with a bunk bed, and she never recalls actually having a bunk bed in her house. And it just immediately kind of caught me by surprise. And I'm not a diagnostician or anything like that, but just the notion of, have you talked to your mental health professional about this? And we spent a lot of time and actually documented so she could actually write down this experience, and went back in. And as a result, she was – the guy who diagnosed her actually realized that he misdiagnosed her, and for whatever reason, I'm not so sure this why, but it was an auditory processing issue. And the thing that what's interesting to me is that there's a lot of complexities here in trying to get some of this stuff right, and the intricacies of it, that I do think that sometimes it requires a specialty. I've coached some people before that kind of came with just an ADHD diagnosis and later went back and articulated, and they were diagnosed with bipolar a little bit later. It didn't manifest itself until later in life. And so I think you have a really good argument about the specialty of it, but at the same time, there's a lot of complexity that's here and a lot of subtlety, and there's a trained eye that's necessary in order to pick some of these things out, which just makes this condition a little bit more complicated. I got to believe, from your perspective, it's a lot of fun because it's a challenge and it's a puzzle every day, but still, it's not as simple as I think the public makes it out to be. Yeah. Just share your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I'm. Yeah, I have to say that it's a pleasure to be in a physician focusing on ADHD and specializing in it. It's highly gratifying because patients can get better and substantially better, and you can see improvements in their academic performance, their work performance. You see people getting promotions. You see, marriages become less tense. You see families really being much more cohesive. And I hear this feedback day in, day out. What's not to love about, you know, that's why people become doctors and coaches, is because they you know, have a big heart and they want people to get better, and there's nothing that any doctor wants more than to hear that. And I have to say that's one reason why I love doing what I'm doing, like you love doing what you're doing. And you're right, just like every coach case and every psychiatric presentation is a challenge into of itself, and you're only as good as your last case, you know, so you have to keep your energy going throughout the day. And that's the challenge for all of us, right, is to be as sharp at 8 o'clock in the morning as we are at 4 o'clock or vice versa. And
absolutely.
And got to do it.
So I want to go to a break real quick. We come back. I want to spend a little bit more time about a few more things about meds, and I want to get into the other unique natures of being a physician with the ADHD crowd. So everybody, if you haven't written it down, you need to do it right now. It's really easy to remember. RCBM.net is a website to learn more about Dr. Young. So go check it out. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Joel Young about the challenges of being a physician that diagnosed and treat ADHD. And the one thing that's really kind of coming true that I didn't expect, Dr. Young, is the passion and the challenge and the creativity and the love for the work that you do, because it's so complicated but so rewarding, and it is very fulfilling. I know that it's been said that ADHD is one of those things that it's very much a challenge, but there's a lot of hope. There's a lot can be done. There's a lot of promise for it. And I know that's what I love mostly about what I do, is when you're working with an individual and they say, "You've changed my life," and they're actually literally in tears about what they're able to accomplish. There's absolutely nothing like it. So it's very inspirational and propels going forward. I want to just touch base a little bit on medications, because one of the big misnomers, and I know that when I'm coaching people, again, everybody, I'm not a mental health professional, but I've interviewed enough and I've come to realize, is that getting stimulant medications or non-stimulant medications, getting the right dose in the right amount at the right timing for those with ADHD is really kind of complicated, because there's so much about the body that can interact with those drugs. It's not like, take two aspirin and kind of call me in the morning. And when I'm working with somebody for the first time, just adjust expectations. If they're going to move towards stimulants, my MO is say, be prepared to change your medications at least 10 times before you get it right. And I do that on purpose, Dr. Young, to adjust their expectations, to help them be patient with the mental health professionals, because getting the right amount is a little bit of an art. You want to comment on that?
Yes. Okay. So I will, but I'm going to say, in defense of my colleagues in rheumatology and cardiology and oncology, it's medicine is rarely textbook, and it does take more often than not, you can get it right pretty early on, and then 1 or 2 out of 10 times it's going to take some titration.
Yep.
And some real creativity, and I see a number of ADHD patients in the course of a day, and I'm always amazed at the end that if I look at their regimens of medications, they're all different, and yet I'm
mm-hmm.
the author of each one of them.
Yep.
And yet they're all different compositions. So as I mentioned, the way our technique is, and since we have about 7 or 8 prescribers in our practice, we try and have a uniform way, and that is to take a really good intake, take a great history. We do psychological testing to make sure that the person, the number of ADHD scales are line up. We get
mm-hmm.
this corroborating evidence from outside people. We want to make sure that there's not depression or anxiety or how much that rolls into it. We want to understand their personality. We do personality profiles to make sure that these are not, trying to con us or manipulate us. So we do a comprehensive evaluation. We also do IQ and other cognitive testing. For instance, if your child has an IQ of 90 and is getting B's and C's in school, that might be appropriate. However,
mm-hmm.
if they have an IQ of 115 and puts them in the 90th percentile, then probably B's and C's are not appropriate. So you can't – it's more than just a rating scale. It requires really a three-dimensional approach to this. And then if
mm-hmm.
we do prescribe, again, never at the first meeting, sometimes at the second, sometimes the third meeting, but usually the second meeting, then we will bring them back in a month. And any number of things can happen. Like a very common situation is we give them a medication. It helps them, but the individuals note that it's like a drop of water. It hasn't quenched my thirst. It's in the right direction, but
yep.
I'm not there. So you might have to up-titrate your dose. It might be a situation where the medication isn't lasting long enough, and they do well for 7 or 8 hours, but you need to kind of give them a booster later in the day. It might be that the medication helps them enormously, or helps their child enormously, but the child has no appetite, and you have to use a medication to spur appetite. It might be that the individual is doing very well, but now has some medication-induced insomnia, and so you have to treat their sleep. Any number of these complications are totally routine in the course of my day.
So with all that you said, there's a lot that's there. Those with ADHD have self-regulation, and they're impatient. And sometimes the time and the feedback to do that seems to me that could be a little bit of a challenge because of the nature of what's going on. They're patient about sticking with medications. I know I've coached a lot of people who tried it, and it doesn't work, and they don't go back. What's your experience with that?
Well, yeah, you know, that's the story of medicine. So if you and I were talking about high blood pressure, if somehow that was our passion, you would be bemoaning, you know, there's a lot of people walking around with very high blood pressure, but they go to their doctor, they take their medicine once and twice, and then they walk around and they die of a stroke early. Isn't that a shame?
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree. Or if we were interested in diabetes, we would say, gosh, you know, if these kids would just control their diet and their insulin, they would do so much better. Well, ADHD, yes, there are problems with compliance, but unlike those two other examples, diabetes and hypertension, when people take their ADHD medicines, they notice it usually. They feel better. And so consequently, they're in some ways they see very tangible results early on, and that motivates them to come back and get it right from their doctor. So I would argue, it's kind of a hard thing to assess, but I would say the rates of compliance are actually higher in ADHD than they might be for some other conditions where you don't see a direct impact, a direct improvement immediately.
Interesting. Another question for you related to the nature of ADHD, self-regulation, impulsivity, and distractibility is actually showing up for appointments on time. I've coached a couple people that they call in a panic for a script because they're out of meds, and there's actually sometimes med shortages out there, which is kind of a little bit of kind of some craziness and kind of going on. So with the nature of ADHD and the self-regulation issues, do you see how that manifests just like in just the patient intake and dealing with them as compared to a normative population? Thoughts?
Well, what we try and do is, yes, part of ADHD sometimes is time management and sometimes not being terribly organized, sometimes missing appointments. And that can happen. As often as that, some folks with ADHD have obsessive compulsive symptoms, and they are never late. They're always on time. They're early. So it runs the gamut. What we try and do in our practice is remind them. We have calls the day before. We text them, we call them. That's more commonplace in American medical practice these days, but it's a great technology and very helpful to folks. We also have some other things where, you know, we recognize that sometimes getting to a doctor's office on time is problematic, and we try and be understanding within limits, but, you know, we also have high expectations out of our patients, and if they abuse it and they miss, you know, consecutive appointments, then, you know, we really set our limits as well. So, you know, you have to treat people compassionately and fairly, understanding their daily challenges. And ADHD is full of daily challenges, isn't it?
Yeah. So anything that we haven't covered that is worth kind of noting that's unique to this particular crowd and a challenge that you might have?
This is what I would say, you know, from my perspective, Jeff, and as a physician, my perspective, it might be a little bit different than yours as a coach, but I think it's probably going to be more similar than that. And that is on one hand, ADHD practice is very exciting. You know, I'm a chief medical officer of the clinical trials group at the Rochester Center, and we've been involved in clinical trials for all sorts of medications, particularly ADHD medications. And it's an exciting field. There are new medications coming up, and the last 20 years have been a great challenge, a great period of advancement. We understand the phenomenon of adult ADHD a lot more than we did in previous generations. And so we're making great strides on one hand. On the other hand, what a lot of people tell me is they can't find doctors to treat them. that they're very frustrated that they can go online and get resources, but they can't find local doctors. Are you seeing that, Jeff, in when you talk to people? Do you hear that complaint?
That's the overriding purpose of this show, is to highlight the complexities of it, because there's a lot of people out there who don't want to venture into this because it's really a kind of a subspecialty out there. I've had umpteen people who called me as a result of the radio show saying, I'm in California, who do I know, or whatever. It's interesting because I'll refer them, like if they think they have OCD or they have bipolar. We've had Dr. Olivardi on with regard to that dyslexia, or we've had people who are struggling with their local physicians with regard to getting meds right. Dr. Charles Parker's been on a couple times, and he talks a lot about different stuff that he does, like gluten sensitivities. And I've actually, over the years, I've been involved with some people who I've coached and that have been in other states, and Dr. Parker has actually consulted with local psychiatrists about some stuff that he's done. And we've actually had some really positive treatments and stuff, but the overwhelming thing about the tonight's show that I really wanted to draw out is that, number one, there's a level of scrutiny because we're dealing with stimulant medications, and there's people are trying to calm the system, so you have to be really aware of that, number one. Number two, it's a complex thing to diagnose. You've done a great job about your thoroughness of going through, but if you're not schooled in that as a physician, or you, there's simpler routes to really kind of go, and then, well, the idea of the medications and trying to get it right, and the whole education associated, and the patience that you need in order to work with this population. I mean, you guys do a spectacular job. You're one of the leading organizations in the country to do it because you've got it knocked down. But for the layman in some of the rural areas, finding somebody who really understands this is a huge challenge. I know that Chad is actually trying to look through some type of filter so they can have a list of people that are comfortable in this area. But again, one of the things I think you've done a great job.
Let me just make one point. You know,
yep.
So let's break this down. What we're talking about is a lot of consumers are not finding providers, and this is a high prevalence disorder. Conservatively, it's between 5% and 10% of the population. Which is, yep. If there's 300 million Americans, that means there's a lot of people with ADHD. And you can't have one doctor really calling local doctors to counsel them. That's just not realistic. This is mm-hmm. not a rare bone cancer. This is not something
mm-hmm.
where you – this is a very common part of daily life. And consequently, what I really think organizations need to do, like CHAD and – at various organizations, is recognize that there is a physician crisis in ADHD, and it's because doctors don't feel supported, and because we kind of talk in alarmist terms about treating this. And what I want to say
mm-hmm.
is, if you treat this appropriately, and you consult, and you go to meetings, and you read about this, and you go by national guidelines, if you're a physician, you're going to be fine. Just do it appropriately. 99.9% of doctors do it that way. I think the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, knows that. It's just the bad actors. They're and they seem to steal some of the press. And I think that scares doctors. And who gets hurt in that regard? Patients, consumers. Because doctors are always busy. There's always something else to do. As an ADHD organization, we have to support the bottleneck, which is providers, and we can't make this a fear city. This is not fear city. If you do things right and appropriately, as you're trained to do as a physician, no problem. You're going to do well and help a lot of people along the way.
All right, so everybody, if you're listening to this, if you rewind back to about the 43-minute mark in what Dr. Young just said, it was absolutely brilliant about articulating. I'm not even going to try to rephrase it or paraphrase it because I won't do it justice. It was brilliant in what he said and kind of outlined some of that landscape and some fear and stuff out there. But at the end of the day is education a lot that's really kind of there. And one of the things that I was hoping with the show is that we could outline some of the physician side of the world a little bit, to bring the consumer a little bit aware of what's kind of going on, to create an awareness and understanding what's going on, and try to help educate those that are out there. Because at the end of the day, people like you, Dr. Young, who do what you do, who specialize in this, are really kind of a godsend and a great resource, and are changing lives, hundreds or thousands of lives. And at the end of the day, I think if you do the math, we're talking about 15 to 20 million Americans with ADHD, so there's definitely a need. And I really appreciate you coming on the show to bring the opportunity to kind of have this conversation. So any final comments before we wrap it up?
No, I just want to, on behalf of people in the ADHD community, thank you, Jeff. You have accumulated an incredible archive of resources, and you've just done it week after week. And so a debt is owed you for all of us interested in this really important condition. And tonight,
well,
I think you highlighted something unusual.
I'm very grateful for your comments, but it's, you know, I couldn't do it without people like yourself coming on, talking about topics like this, and the willingness of giving of you and your time. I'm just the facilitator of the brilliance of everybody that I bring on. And as a subset, I get an incredible education along the way that I never actually dreamed of. That was the thing I was actually talking to that show about this, because we've been doing this for so long. When I got into this, I never dreamed that I would actually become as knowledgeable as I am because of the brilliance of you guys. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
It was my pleasure.
Everybody, check out Dr. Young's website at rcbm.net. We hope you've enjoyed tonight's show, and we're going to ask you to stay tuned. Check us out next week for another great edition. Take care.